Good morning. How are we doing? Am I all live out there? Sort of. Okay. It's good to be here. And as some of you know, I've been a little bit ill. And I just want to thank you so much for all the prayers and the food and the thoughts and the texts and all that kind of stuff. And of course, the prayers most of all that have lifted and encouraged us. And so, you're asking how am I doing? I'm standing upright today, so which is good. Yeah, we can moan and complain and say I'm so sick and I'm this and I'm that, but today is one of the reasons we say I am healed, because of the power of the cross. And so this morning's message I want to share with you is not a catchy title like I like to do. But I just thought it was something. It's called, there's no PowerPoints today, so no gimmicks, just me and good old Bible. And Friday, Jesus and the cross. That's it. Friday, Jesus and the cross. So if you turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 22, and we'll start there. Before, while you're doing that, at the same time, oh, my ears unblocked. I can see you all and hear you all now. And me. I just want to thank Dom and Ellie and their team and everyone who came early and prepared the breakfast for us. You guys are champions. Thank you so much. Bless you. And it's all good. And so well done. And we look for much of the same again on Sunday. Wow. You weren't that impressed. Okay, let's try that again. We're going to try more of that on Sunday. Yeah. Right. Now I know how to get you to church. I'm going to tell you that when we pray at our prayer meetings, we're going to have food. Okay, come on. Let's work. I've got limited time. And so let's go. Psalm 22. I love this trilogy of Psalms. Psalm 22 is the dying king. Psalm 23 is the shepherd king. Psalm 24 is the glorious coming king. And you should go and read them as a trilogy and look at it, the whole thing. But this is a prophetic portrait of the cross as David pens the psalm. And he starts this way. My God, my God. Why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? From the words of my groanings, oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm, not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who seek me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet, you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breast. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs encompass me, a company of evildoers encircle me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 27, please. Matthew chapter 27. We're going to read from verse 45. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour, which means 3 p.m. I just want to pause there a little while. This is the time Jesus was upon the cross. He was being crucified and he was dying. 3 p.m. was the time that the priest would take the lambs out and slaughter them for the Passover. We have to understand the timing is everything. And so this wasn't just a random act, a random time. They were very specific. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders hearing it said, "This man is calling Elijah." And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out again and with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split, and the tombs were also opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep after his resurrection and came out of the tombs. Let's just end it there. Friday, Jesus and the cross. And again, I think Michael preached half my sermon. It's okay because we need to hear repetition. How much have we considered Friday, Jesus and the cross? Or the great exchange, as I also like to call it, the what and the why of what took place on Friday. It was the most cataclysmic event on earth, where two worlds collided with a force of darkness, of good and evil, with their might and power against the forces of God and his angelic armies. And as this cosmic battle raged, darkness forever was defeated. Have you ever wondered why it's called Good Friday when a seemingly bad thing happened on that day? And as Michael so aptly put it, sometimes we get very somber about Good Friday and we wonder, oh, this is so sad, but it is probably the most joyous, momentous time in the Christian calendar ever. We can never, ever ignore it because the old saying goes, unless we get to Friday, we can never get to Sunday. Friday is the road to Sunday. And we need to understand and take hold of that. Jesus upon the cross, if you can just poetically imagine with me, Jesus upon his cross hung between heaven and earth as this cosmic battle raged and as the forces of good fought for the souls of mankind for eternity. Not for that day, not for that year, not for that month, but for eternity, forever and ever and ever. A momentous occasion. It wasn't just another day. It wasn't just a day that we... But we need to understand the power of the cross. And that's why I've called Friday Jesus and the cross. We need to understand and have a Genesis to Revelation understanding of the power of the cross. It was always the plan of redemption. The cross of Christ is central in the Old Testament and the New Testament. The story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden pointed to the cross. The story of Abel and Cain pointed to the cross. The Passover lamb, 1300 BC, pointed to the cross. The temple sacrifices all pointed to the cross. Are you getting it? The Old Testament prophecies pointed to the cross. The Gospels highlight the cross. The book of Acts continually speaks of the cross. The epistles speak of Jesus and the cross. Revelation speaks of the line of the tribe of Judah who has triumphed over the cross. This is a triumphant day for us to celebrate and to get excited about. The cross, unfortunately, over centuries has generated an inordinate amount of interest. It has become a symbol that, and please don't be offended, my wife wears the cross, you can have a look at it, she's worn it for many, many years, that we just wear a symbol around our neck, the symbol of the cross. If we understood the depth and the power and the purpose of the cross, then we should also wear a hangman's noose around our neck, or a gas chamber, or an electric chair. Because that's what the cross was originally intended for. But God turned it into something glorious and amazing. The cross of Jesus Christ is either glorious to you or it's offensive. I'm glad two of you got that. Work with me. We've relegated to an ornate piece of jewelry. It was a symbol of death and persecution. Tattooists, artists, clubs, doodlers. How many of your school kids just idling away doodling drew crosses of some sort on a piece of paper? You have to put your hand up. It became the embodiment of the symbol of hope for mankind. It fascinated people throughout history. Other religions are about what man must do to gain God's approval. Christianity is about what God has done for man through the power of the cross and His Son Jesus on a Friday. Jesus' death on the cross is one event that makes it possible for us to come into a right relationship with God, because He paid for all our sins, for all of us and everybody else. Jesus says this, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." John 10:11. Paul says this, "I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins." I find that a fascinating piece of scripture, because Paul was writing here to the Corinthian church, and that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, 1 Corinthians 15. Because the point is that when he wrote to the Corinthians church, we know that a lot of what he wrote in the Corinthian church, we all get excited about, and that is what? The gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12. We all want to know about them. He said, "I didn't write about the gifts. I didn't want to know about that stuff. I didn't want to know how talented you were. I didn't know how smart you were. I didn't want to know anything else but Jesus Christ and Him crucified and Him raised again for us on the third day." Peter, "He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness." 1 Peter 2:24. "You were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold, but with precious blood, as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ." 1 Peter 1:18. That Friday was a special day. It was the day that made it possible for all mankind to come to salvation. I know sometimes we just read this stuff, or I just say this stuff, and I wished we had the time just to read a sentence and then let's just stop, think about it, contemplate it, contemplate the power, contemplate what actually took place, that we would get that into our spirit, man, that we would gain an understanding of what it is. Without Good Friday, there would be no salvation. Did you ever think about that? Well, it's Good Friday, we're going to go, they're going to talk about a cross, and Jesus died, and He rose again. Yeah, that's it. We have to get the import in. We have to learn to meditate on His Word. We need to get His Word into our heart. It was a day when our sins, past, listen, present, and future, were all dealt with and forgiven. That should get you excited. But I'm going to commit a sin tomorrow. Yes, it was dealt with at the cross. Because otherwise, then Jesus has to die again, because He was the one and only perfect Lamb slain before all the world. Hence, we have the word propitiation. When Christ's blood was shed for us and He died for us, and the wrath of God was appeased forever. That's what that nice theological word means. It also means the day when the enemy was completely defeated. But you don't know how powerful the enemy is. No, I don't. I'm really stupid that way. I know that Jesus lives, that Jesus reigns, that He is all supreme, that He is sovereign, and He is the author, He is the perfecter of my faith. He is mighty God. He has never lost a battle, and in Him I trust. I would encourage you, do not give the enemy pulpit time. Do not give him space in your mouth, in your thinking of what he's doing to you. We know he goes around like a roaring, seeming like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We know that. Forewarned is forearmed. Well, you don't understand. The enemy's having a go at me. You should come and walk in our shoes for a while. This is not a competition. We know his job is to kill you. Spiritually, physically, mentally. That's his job. And we will not allow him to do his job. Because he who is in me is greater than he that is in this world. Why? Because of the power of the cross. It was the day that the record of debt that had been incurred was completely cancelled. All the debt that you had accumulated in your sinful nature, eradicated. One fell swoop, gone. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that awesome? That on that one day, you say, but I only came to know Jesus 5 years ago. That doesn't matter. Your sin was already dealt with 2,000 years ago. We're just getting the revelation of that now. We're just coming and accepting the work, the finished work of the cross. It means that on that day, the legal demands of that debt was eradicated completely forever. You mean there's no double jeopardy? Yep. You can't be tried again for the same sins. Does that mean I can just go out and do what I like? Don't be stupid. Of course not. It's like I stole, I got caught, the judge let me off, I can go and steal again. No, you can't. What did Jesus say to everyone that he healed or he set free or he touched? Go and sin no more. Don't go sick again. Don't go and do this again. He said, go and sin no more. We just have to obey him and listen to him. It was the day that we were completely legally delivered from Adam's rebellion. No longer part of the Adamic curse. No longer part of that. Now living in a new covenant, a new dispensation, a dispensation of God's grace upon us. Why? No, Michael said it this morning. Jesus bore upon himself all our guilt and our shame. Well, Kevin, someone said it. Took upon him, didn't die, Kevin, didn't die for us, but he died, he took all our sin upon himself. Because when we get to that understanding of, well, he did it for me, then it's like I owe him a debt. Listen carefully. We do not owe God a debt of anything. Because His grace is free. It is by grace we are saved, not by works. It was a day that the demonic rulers and authorities were put to shame as Christ triumphed over them. Have you ever been in a situation where you think you've won, and then just at the end something happens, and then you don't win? You know that elation and jubilation and the excitement, and the final whistle hasn't blown, and then you know that, well, there's no more time, nobody can do, and they can't score another goal, or in my case, can't score another try, because they're too far from the goal line, and all of a sudden, in the last 30 seconds, they score a goal. And you go, oh my word, I thought we won this one. I think that's what the enemy felt like. I think they were like, woo, doing the happy dance. I'm told I'm not allowed to dance up here. And I think, and then Christ arose. And they were like, what happened? 30 seconds to go. We thought we were home free. It was the day when the Holy of Holies was opened by the veil being torn from top to bottom. I love that piece of scripture so much. I don't think we get so much what it means. Going into the Holy of Holies, you had to go in once a year. Only the high priest could go in. Day of Atonement, go in. Rope wrapped around his leg, all these little bells and tassels so they could hear tinkle, 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 tinkle. No tinkle. Oh. Tug on the rope. Oh, dead weight. The priest was not sinless when he went in. Drag him out. Next priest. Dressed up. Tinkle, 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 tinkle. All stand outside and wait for the priest to come out, having given the sacrifices. Meanwhile, Jesus, the one and only sacrifice, went behind the veil, opened up the throne room, the Holy of Holies, to you and to me. That we could go in and spend time with our Father. That we could walk in, not brazen, but unashamedly, guiltless, could walk into the Holy of Holies. The day when heaven came down to earth and met earth. It was a day when a convicted criminal entered into paradise. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Today you will be with me in paradise. It was a day a Roman soldier immediately comes to faith. Truly, this must be the Son of God. It was a day that for me, I say, the great exchange took place. Isaiah 53:4 says, surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet, we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. That's why this morning when we did communion, we used matzos. If you look at the little piece of matzos, they've got holes in them. He was pierced for our transgressions. There's always a little bit of a burn on them. He was bruised for our iniquities. It's a semblance of the body of Christ. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with His stripes we are healed. In that moment that we truly trust in Jesus, when we commit ourselves fully to Him and receive Him and confess Him as our Lord and Savior and our Master for all time, we are in Christ. When we are in Christ, all the promise of God, the benefits of this transaction at Calvary become ours. It's our inheritance. We don't have to work for it. We don't have to do anything special for it. We just have to learn to receive it. You know, as humans, we're not really good at just receiving. Even when people come up and you pray for them, as you start to pray, they stop praying. You just receive. Because when your antenna, when your transmitter, thank you, Ellen, when your transmitter is on, your receiver is off. And we have to learn to just receive. That's why someone else is praying for you, so you can just receive. And we've got to learn to receive. Allow to do this little journey from head. Remember we said, we preach to the head to warm the heart, to activate the hands. Some of you remember that. 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God find their yes in Him. That is why it is through Him that we utter our amen to God for His glory. In closing, for what took place through the power of the cross, through Friday, Jesus, and the cross, what are we recipients of? Jesus took my sin, all of my sin. In exchange, I receive His righteousness. Are you righteous? I want that everywhere for men to raise holy hands. Okay, let's do that. I don't know if I'm holy. You are holy. You are righteous. In His sight, you are righteous. And your husband or wife, maybe not so much, but in His sight. Jesus took my punishment. Think about that. That's why I say, sometimes we just say it glibly. Just think about what Jesus went through. He took my punishment, and in exchange, I received His forgiveness. Because I received His forgiveness, my Father in heaven is not angry with me. He will not be angry with you. Am I saying this slowly enough and clearly enough? He is not a God of anger. He is a God of compassion and love and grace abounding to us. Yeah, but if I do something, He's going to be angry with me. No, He's not. Jesus took my diseases and my pains, and in exchange, I receive healing. Father, I pray this morning for everyone here today, and hear my words, Lord God. Jesus, You are our healer. And so, God, we declare health and strength over our lives, Lord God. Thank You, Lord God, for every little cold that we have, that You can eradicate that. That science has not found a cure for, but Jesus, You can heal. We bring it to You this morning, Lord God, and we lay it at Your cross. Thank You, Jesus. He took my sickly nature. In exchange, I receive His divine health. Jesus took my sadness and gave me His joy. There should be no reason why we should be hopeless, depressed, I'm trying to think of a nice word, sad. Those are emotions. Everything you can, I heard this in a line, in a movie. Everything you can take away from me, what you cannot take away from me is my attitude, because that belongs to me only. Nobody can make you have an attitude. No one can force an attitude upon you. It's yours. You get to decide that. Jesus took my curse. In exchange, I receive His blessing. You are not cursed or accursed. You are blessed in Him. Jesus took my old life, and in exchange, I receive His new divine life. Jesus took my poverty, and also poverty mentality. In exchange, I receive His riches gloriously. Jesus took my rejection, and in exchange, I receive acceptance from God. Let's just think about that one for a little while. If I am accepted by God, the Creator of the universe, Almighty God, I'm accepted by Him, why would I feel rejected by anything or anybody? See, when I put my identity right, see, if my identity is in who I am and what I do and what I've achieved and what you think of me and what I think of you, yeah, you're going to be disappointed. But when my identity is fixed on Jesus, fixed on my Heavenly Father who loves me, who bears me no ill, who's accepted me, now I'm good to go. And I know we're humans and we have feelings, but I just said we get to choose about those kind of things. Last one. Jesus took my filthy rags, and in exchange I received garments of righteousness. I'm clothed in His righteousness. When the world vies for your attention, when they vie for everything that you are, when they come knocking at your door seeking you out, remember Friday, Jesus, and the power of the cross. Amen. May I ask you to stand together, please? Father, we come to you this morning, Lord God, and we just close our eyes, just raise our hands to Him. We submit ourselves unto you, Father. We come before you, God, and we thank you for Friday. We thank you for the great exchange that took place. We thank you for the power of the cross, Lord God. We thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice upon that cross. Jesus, that you did that for each one of us, Lord God, that you took everything upon yourself, that you imputed to us your righteousness, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that we have received your righteousness, your forgiveness, your healing, your divine health, your joy, your blessing, your new life, your riches, Lord, your acceptance from God, and a garment of righteousness, Lord. And we stand before you this morning, Lord God. We are honored and blessed to call you our brother. We are our high priest. You are our apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. You are mighty Jesus. You are awesome, Lord. And God, we stand before you just a glorious. Holy Spirit, would you just infuse us with this message today? Would you touch our hearts and our minds as we go from here today, Lord? Let us walk in the knowledge of our identity in you, Lord God. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.